And then I want to read other scriptures as well and have you to think with me about some of the things I said this morning and the other things that I'm to say tonight. Verse 1, Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that were heard. Notice, that were heard. By whom? Not by them directly, as we'll see in a moment, but the things that were heard by those that were eyewitnesses of our Lord. Keep that in mind. Verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that were heard, lest perchance we drift away from them. 4, if the word spoken through angels grew steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which, having at the first been spoken through the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard? You see? The Lord spoke, and then the ones that heard the Lord speak spoke to others, and they confirmed the truth that our Savior spoke. Verse 4. God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders, by manifold powers, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His will. So please notice that in verse 4, for those who had to hear the testimony of others, they did not hear the Lord Jesus. They did not see Him personally. But there were those that did hear the Lord Jesus personally. And then they came and told others about the Lord Jesus. Well, how do I know that those men are true? How do I know that they're not false prophets? That they're not lying to me? Look at verse 4. It said, God bearing witness with them by signs and wonders, and manifold powers, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His will. Here's what happened. When the apostles in the book of Acts would speak truth, God at times would say, there was a crippled man at the gate beautiful. Give that man strength in his crippled knees, and that's what would happen. There would be another person that was sick, that had died, like Dorcas, and God would say, raise up that sick person. So when Peter spoke the truth of God, and when the apostles spoke the truth of God, God would confirm that what they were saying was true by the miracles that they were empowered to perform. So I want you to keep that in mind, first of all. Now, let's turn back to the Old Testament. The 1 Samuel chapter 3, because we're going to consider the way God spoke in the Old Testament. When He spoke, and how He spoke, and to whom He spoke. Verse 1, it's going to read a little different in this 1901 version, but please notice the difference from your translation. 1 Samuel 3:1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no frequent vision. Now the word open means frequent, widespread vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place. Now his eyes had begun to wax dim so that he could not see. And the lamp of God was not yet gone out, and Samuel was laid down to sleep in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, that the Lord called Samuel. And he said, here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, here am I, for you called me. Now, this goes on again and again, and little Samuel does not know that the Lord is speaking to him. He thinks that old blind Eli is calling him for help. So, look at verse 9. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. He has to be told that because of verse 7. Look at verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And so this old high priest, this old man of God, has to tell him how to act when God is communicating with him. Look at verse 10. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And God, to this little boy, to this child, gives a revelation concerning Eli and his household. And look at verse 15. And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath spoken unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if you hide anything from me, of all the things that he spake unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good. Now notice the development of this child. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Verse 21, And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now, let's speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we're so thankful that this day we have spent it in a way that is worthy of thee, because we have gathered together with the people of God to worship you, to sing praises to you, to read the scriptures, to hear the voice of God through the servants of God. We are thankful for this great blessing that you bestowed upon us. Let it ever be, Father, that when there is the gathering of ourselves together, that we shall not absent ourselves, but we shall be present, our God, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner, as the habit of some is, but our Father, let us ever love to come and fellowship with the people of God. We remember what the psalmist said, A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. So let us look forward to these brief hours when we come together to fellowship, to enjoy you, Father, with one another. We thank you for your blessings to us. Now, we've read some passages and we desire to read more, so illumine us, Father, about the way that you give evidences to your creatures and how long these evidences are to remain, the varied evidences that you give. So teach us by thy Spirit, we pray. We look to thee for good. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now, turn in the same book of Samuel to chapter 9. Chapter 9. Look at verse 9. Now, this is telling us how God reveals himself. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he said, Come, let us go to the seer, for he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Now, this is the way that God revealed himself in olden times, one of the ways. The word seer, if you think of it, a seer, what is a seer? It is one who sees. There are those who have physical eyes trained to look over territory on earth, to look over land and tell what is valuable, what is not valuable, to explain to us whether there may be minerals there, forests. There are those that have eyes to see about physical things, And in the Old Testament, God gave special abilities to man to see spiritual things, and they were called seers. And so it's so simple. That's why he's called a seer, because he had the ability to see the spiritual things that were ordinarily hidden from the eyes of man. Now, you say, what does the word prophet mean? It means to speak beforehand. Pha, phetiuo, it means one who speaks forth the mind of God for what is immediate or what is going to be in the future. So this was one of the ways that God spoke to man in the Old Testament. But this was much later in the history of Israel. This is the way that God spoke at first. And so let's look at a few of these things. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2. And look at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you see, at this time, God is in the presence of Adam. He is speaking to Adam, mouth to mouth. And God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. All right, we know of their sin, their disobedience, and look at verse 7. They have sinned, and their eyes are open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto the man and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. You see how at first God speaks to man? It is nothing spiritual. God manifests himself in some form so that Adam and Eve can see him. Not that he might be an idol, but he manifested himself to them in some way, as when later he manifested himself in different ways. But please notice that at the first, there was direct communication between God and his creatures. Now, look at chapter 4. You're liable to think that the moment that sin came into the world, that this manner of communication stopped. But you'll see that it didn't. Look at verse 4. And Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering of the fruits of the earth, he had not respect. And Cain was wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? He's speaking to him directly. And look now at verse 11. He's speaking to him still. You are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive thy brother's blood. And God pronounced his doom upon him. Look at verse 13. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me this day from the face of the ground, and so forth. You see, at this time, God is speaking directly to his creature. But what happens so soon after that is a change. And look in chapter 4 at the verse 26. To Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enosh. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. But you do not read of God communing directly with men until, I will give you a prominent example, until Noah comes upon the scene. It says that Enoch walked with God, and he was well pleasing to God, and perhaps God spoke to him. We're not told. But God revealed things to him because Enoch was a prophet and he prophesied. We have that prophecy in the book of Jude. So, here we finally have, look in chapter 6, chapter 6, verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. So here again, God is speaking, and it seems here he's speaking directly to Noah. But please observe that there was communication between God and his creatures, but hundreds of years had passed. At first, God was speaking to Adam and Eve and Cain, but then, if he did speak to others, we have no record of the way that he spoke to them. All right, now, let's skip over to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12, and look at verse 1. Now, the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show thee. And here again, we have God speaking to a man, but think of all the years that have transpired between Noah and the flood and the coming of God to Abram. This is what I want you to understand, that all of those who never heard God speak to them would have to listen to what Adam and Eve told them that God had said. Noah would have to have his sons listen to him to hear what God had said to them. God did not speak to everyone, but God selected a few, and God would speak to these individuals. And in this instance, it was a direct speech that God spoke to them. From all that we're told, God spoke to them directly. But now, turn to chapter 15. Chapter 15. And this is the way, God having spoken directly, he's going to start speaking in the future. Verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, notice, he's saying this to Abram in his sleep. That's the remarkable thing. At times he speaks directly, but at times also he speaks to man in his sleep. All right. Now, let's see a different way that God speaks to man. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. And let's see how he speaks to another young man. Verse 4. 1 Kings 3 and 4. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. Well, that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. Please notice that Solomon is asleep at night, and God appears in a dream, and God is speaking to Solomon, and Solomon is speaking to God. And look at verse 15. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream, and he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants. So God appeared to him here. But now he tells us again, turn to chapter 9, chapter 9, and look at verse 1. And it came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. This is what I want you to learn from this lesson, that God did not constantly appear to men of old. To some he appeared more often than others, but in the case of Solomon, in his whole life, he only appeared twice. And then, the final appearance, because we should see this, but please notice, it mentions that God appeared to him the second time. Now turn to chapter 11. Chapter 11 and verse 9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, so notice, he's speaking to him now. He's appeared to him twice, and he's speaking to him this last time. For as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statute, which I commanded thee, I will surely rend thy kingdom. And so, this is the tragedy concerning Solomon. Now let me ask you a question. Would you not think that if Almighty God appeared to you once and again, that you would know that he was the only God, and you would only recognize that God? But it's the same in the Old Testament as I showed you in the New Testament. It does not matter if a man appears, has God to appear to him one time or two times or a multitude of times. He still can forget God, he can forget his commandments, and he can turn to sin again. And that is the danger that lies before us today. Presently, I want to show you how God speaks to us today. But I'm showing you how God spoke to them of old. He spoke to them directly. He spoke to them in dreams. And now, let's look at this. Turn to Daniel chapter 8. At times, these things are combined, but I want you to hear these words. In Daniel chapter 8, it says, verse 1, in the third year of the reign of the king Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. So Daniel is one who received visions from the Lord. At times, God speaks in dreams, and at times he speaks in visions. At times they are combined, but let me make this distinction. If God speaks in a dream, you're asleep. But if God speaks in a vision, you're in a trance. Instead of turning to it, I will simply tell you about it. It speaks about the Apostle Paul, who fell into a trance, and God spoke to him. And that word trance literally means he was outside of himself. You are there, and yet you are outside of yourself, and in that condition, God speaks to you. Again, he speaks in various ways to different people. At times he speaks directly to Peter, but you'll find in Acts chapter 10, Peter was hungry, and let's look at that. Turn to Acts 10. I want you to see this. Acts chapter 10, and look at verse 10. Peter goes up to the housetop about the sixth hour, and in verse 10, he became hungry and desired to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and he beholded the heaven open. So do you see? Here, Peter is outside of himself in a trance, and God shows him all of these things. Now, it is a trance, and it says in verse 16, and this was done thrice, and straightway the vessel was received up to heaven. Now, while Peter was much perplexed in himself what the vision which he had seen might mean, behold, you see, he is in a trance, but he sees a vision. And a vision is, again, simply something that is visible. Something comes before your eyes that ordinary people aren't able to see. One other thing I must show you from the Old Testament, and I will show you. Turn to 2 Kings, two quick references. But remember that this is the way that God spoke of old, and I do not believe he's ever spoken unto us in any of these ways. I've never had God to come and speak directly to me. I've never had God to give me a vision. I've never had any of these experiences that genuine prophets and seers of the Lord have had. And so, in 2 Kings chapter 4, look in chapter 5 for the sake of time. Naaman the leper comes and he's healed, and Elisha will take absolutely nothing from him. But Gehazi, his servant, runs after Naaman the leper, and he tells a lie, and he asks for 2 talents of silver and 2 changes of raiment. Now look, Verse 25, after he does this secretly, it says, he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went nowhere. And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee when the man turned from his chariot to meet thee? And you'll find that God had revealed to Elisha everything that was taking place at a distance. He knew what Gehazi said. He knew what Naaman said. And that's why they are called seers, because they are able to see, whereas others are not able to see. And I will give you another instance. You'll find that on one occasion, the city was surrounded by the enemies of Elisha. And the servant came and said, Master, we are destroyed. The city is surrounded by enemies. And the prophet said, Lord, open the eyes of this young man that he may see. And then he who was a seer and could see prayed, and the eyes of that young man were opened, and he saw the angels of God surrounding that city as well. So if God gives that gift to a man, he has ability to see the invisible thing. We are told in the scripture of these things, but these seers are able to see these things, and through his prayer, he was able to enable another to see the thing that he saw. All right, that's all that I can tell you about those at that time. I want us to see how God speaks to us today. I do not believe all of these that you see on television, all of these healers. I've never believed them, and I had one person, and I cannot understand. This person told me, oh yes, when I'm in bed, Jesus comes and sits down beside me at my bed and has conversations with me. I cannot believe that for this reason. The person who tells me this, trying to explain the scriptures, doesn't know the scriptures, is ignorant of what the Word of God says. And yet this person says that Jesus comes and sits by the bedside and speaks, just as the Lord did in the Old Testament. And others will tell such lies. I remember one that's so preposterous, you don't even have to strain your imagination. He said, yes, at one time, he said, I had cavities in my teeth, and God healed those cavities, and he filled them with golden crowns. Now, do you believe that? And another one said this, yes. He said, I was riding along, and my car said empty, and suddenly, I saw that car that was on empty. I saw the meter moving over to full. And that's the reason that I'm here now. I have no confidence in those things. Now, God could do those things, but I have no confidence that the people that tell those things are telling the truth, because some of them have been exposed as charlatans. So disregard that. But this is what I do believe. I believe that God speaks to us today through his servant, through his word, and also through his spirit. Turn to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. I've already read to you from Hebrews how that God spoke to those that had seen Christ and heard Christ and done the miracles. They conveyed that message to them. So look at verse 15. Romans 8:15. For you receive not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You see? Here is the way that God speaks to us today. God speaks to us through the Word of God, and I'm going to let you see that, but please notice, he speaks also through the Spirit of God. Turn to Luke 16, Luke 16, and this is the way that God is doing it today. Luke chapter 16, and the rich man in hell is praying to Abraham to send Lazarus from the dead for a witness to his brethren. But look at verse 29. But Abram said, They had Moses and the prophets, notice, the word of God. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The writings of Moses and the prophets. They have the scriptures. It says, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one go to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if one rise from the dead. The word of God, imparted by the Spirit of God, the Spirit witnessing within your heart to the truth of the things of God, is sufficient, and this is all that God is going to give. And for those that want signs, additional truths, this is what the Lord Jesus said. He said, a sinful and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given it. So, child of God, until the Lord again starts speaking directly, as he did in the Old Testament, you remember? He spoke to our first parents and to Cain, and then there was a great interval, and then he spoke to Noah, and then there was a great interval, and he speaks to Abraham, and so forth. Now there's been this great interval, and until he speaks again, we will have to go to the scriptures that we know are inspired by God, and we will have to let the Spirit of God impress the truths upon us. And one other thing, I must show you this, since we've looked at the book of Romans, turn back there quickly, just one moment, to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 9, and this is the way that from the Word of God, we acknowledge and ascertain the truth of God. Look at verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience bearing witness with me in the Holy Spirit. So here we have it. We have the Spirit of God, and we have the conscience of man, and we have the Spirit of God taking the scriptures, witnessing that they are true, witnessing to us that we are sons of God, and we cry, Abba, Father, and we have our conscience working, and we have the Spirit of God working with our conscience. So your conscience is not enough. You must have the Spirit of God working with your conscience in conformity and harmony with the Word of God, and then you will know what is true and what is not true. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we thank you that you have not stopped speaking to man, but our Father, you have spoken to man in different ways throughout the history of man. Lord, we would desire so very much that you would speak to us as you did men of old, that you spoke to our parents before sin came into the world, and then you spoke to Abraham, and we remember that you spoke to Moses, and you said that he was an exceptional example. You spoke mouth to mouth with Moses. So our God, we pray that these things could be true of us, but if it's not your will, if your Son said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed, we pray that the way that you want to speak to us, we shall listen and shall ascertain thy voice, that the Spirit of God shall take the Word of God and make it true and real to us, and we shall know that this is the truth of God. So keep us from error and guide us by thy Spirit, and keep us faithful to thy word, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.